Off in the middle of Shar HaSimcha. So we were discussing the very, very strong connection between Simcha and Bitachon, and how when a person has genuine Bitachon in Hashem, he is likely to live a life of Simcha. And we've been emphasizing the point that Simcha is not a result of what you have, it's not a result of fulfilling your desires. Simcha is most often a result of a sense of serenity that comes with the knowledge that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in charge of everything. And that is a critical element of Simcha. So we left off in the paragraph that begins, Mi Shema'amin Belukim B'Leib Shalim U'Batayach B'Bitachon Chazak. If someone really believes in Hashem and has absolute faith in Hashem, Yavi Oso HaBitachon Shalo Yifchad Me'Adam Midavar Ra, then you're not going to be worried about other people, that, oh, what's this guy going to do to me if I get on his bad side, how he can hurt me, how he can impact me. No one can impact you. Only HaKadosh Baruch Hu can impact you. There's no one that's able to do something to you that can harm you if it's against the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'lo yavo do adam's lusa l'israt sose love, v'lo yikava l'ish. You're not going to try to do chanifa. You know, you're not going to try to be overly flattering of a person just to get on his good side, and you're not going to have your hopes and your faith in another person. Oh, as long as that guy's there, then I know I'll have a job. But once he's gone, then I don't know if I'll have a job. I remember someone said to me when I started teaching, a couple of years after I started teaching in DRS, someone was saying, like, how are you going to make it in chinuch? Like, can you, make it? I'm like, I don't know, I have a job now. They're like, yeah, as long as Rabbi Kamenetsky is there, you'll have a job, because, you know, you're his Talmud, but who knows if you'll have a job. Like, as much HaKadosh stuff as they have to him, but it was Ribbono Shel Olam ultimately, right? That's the reason that you have a job or don't have a job. And that's, and a person should never put his faith in another person entirely. It's an unhealthy type of power relationship that's created with another person. No one should ever have to feel that it's because of another person that he has his blessings. It's always because of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You should love people, you should have tremendous Hakar Satov to people for the good that they do for you, but you should never feel that they are the cause of your blessings. The cause of your blessings is the Ribbono Shel Olam. It's very important in life in general, I think, to not have like unhealthy power relationships. A person shouldn't have to behave toward you in a certain way because they're afraid of what you might do to them. You know, that's an unhealthy relationship in any which way. In a parent-child, friends, boss, employee, it's just an unhealthy kind of relationship. Remember when years ago when I had the privilege, I was zocha to be a bone marrow match to somebody. So I gave, you have to be like, something's got to be wrong with you if you're a bone marrow match and you decide, nah, it's all right. I'd rather, watch a football game that day than, give some whatever. You know, so I did it. Yona came with me and we had a day. And they said to me, they called me up a few months later. They said, do you want to meet the person that you donated to? So I said no. So they said, maybe you didn't hear the question. Do you want to meet? They're like, we never got that answer before. They never heard that before. I said, I don't know. I don't want to like look at another person and have that other person think, wow, you saved my life. Because I totally didn't. The Ribbono Shel Olam put something in me that like was able to do this, that, you know, and I was just like in a position. But like, you know, I'm not saying that people shouldn't meet, when they donate something and save someone's life. You know, sometimes it's a very fruitful and warm and amazing relationship and whatever. I'm just saying like sometimes it could lead to a sense of that another human being did this. You know, another human being is the reason I'm alive, and it's never another human being that's the reason you're alive. It's the Ribbono Shel Olam that's the reason that you're alive. A person has to realize that everything comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You can't put too much stock in what other people are able to do for you. It's also interesting. There is, I think it's an Aruch Chaim HaKadosh, a very controversial Aruch Chaim HaKadosh on Chumash with Yosef and his brothers, where he assumes not this way. Right? He assumes that if a person wants to do something evil and terrible to you, that the person actually can do something evil and terrible to you, even against the Ratzon Hashem. So that's the, right, he explains, how does he explain with Yosef and his brothers that way? What does he say? That they threw, right, that they didn't, what was the argument not to kill him? So they'll throw him into a bar. Habar reikim b'mayim. But what was in the bar? Nechashim akrabim, right? So deadly animals, deadly beasts were in that bar. So they're going to throw him into a bar that has deadly beasts. We're not going to kill him. We're going to throw him to a place where he will certainly die. What's the havamina, right? So I think it's Yerachayim HaKadosh. I hope I'm not wrong about that. Because whoever doesn't say this teretz holds that whoever says this teretz is like an apikoros. Like, so it's a, it, meaning it's a very controversial teretz. So one of the achronim in the Makros Gedolos says that if they throw him in a bar where it's the chayos in the chashim and akrabim, it's up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu can make it that the chashim and akrabim won't kill him. But if we decide to kill him, HaKadosh Baruch Hu can't stop us. Bechir Chavshis is so powerful that I can even choose to kill somebody else if it wasn't that person's time to die, and he will still die even without, which is like a scary level of stock that you're putting in Bechir Chavshis that a person has. Not just my choice to do a mitzvah or aveira to earn my olam haba, but that I can actually cause someone else to suffer something that they weren't meant to suffer. I mean, the whole hashkafic issue of the Holocaust would be, how did God allow the Holocaust? Well, God didn't allow anything. People are able to choose things that that God didn't allow. You'd be able to answer that question. But, I mean, it causes much bigger questions in our whole religion. That's the problem. So you answer a few questions, but it causes a lot bigger problems. So I think the general assumption is not that way. The general assumption is that if something bad happens to you, then, why is it? I think Sefer Chinuch writes this in the Talmud, the Mitzvah. Why is it that we have an Isser that we're not losikom losita, that we're not allowed to seek revenge? Someone did something terrible to me. What? He deserves it. So I think the Sefer Chinuch writes, he didn't do anything terrible to you. Nothing terrible would have happened to you if you didn't deserve something terrible to happen to you. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees it. Okay, it's like, he's mazmin lepunda kechad, right? Like the Gemara Makos says, that someone who's chayiv misa anyway, but he wasn't caught, so he'll be the guy that nafal minagag or whatever, right? Meaning, someone who's chayiv skil anyway will be nafal minagag, and that it all works out. But it has to be that you actually deserve it. Not only do you have to actually deserve it, if something bad happens to Reuven, and Reuven has a brother Shimon who also suffers because he's so worried about Reuven, and Reuven has children who are going to suffer because of what's happening to Reuven, nothing could happen to Reuven if his children didn't deserve to have that experience, and his brother didn't deserve to have that experience, and his parents didn't deserve to have that experience of that lesser level of suffering, of not being the one in the center, but the one in the the circles right around him. That's the level of bitachon we're supposed to have in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that no human being will control whether something good or bad happens to me. In that way, I would never agree to anybody who asks me to do anything that's against Avodas Hashem. Why would I do something against Avodas Hashem? Hashem is really in charge. What motivates people to give in to peer pressure? Because these people can control whether I'm popular, whether I'm whether I'm someone that people will respect, will look up to, will hang out with, will this, will that, will make money, not make. No, these people cannot control any of that. Only Kadosh Baruch Hu controls that. So why would I listen to them? I'm not going to be worried about upsetting them. I'm not going to be worried about having arguments with them. And if I have to give Musar, okay, I'm not going to be worried that, oh no, how can I give Musar to someone like this? What can he do to me? Hashem helps me, therefore I'm never going to be humiliated. I'll do what I have to do, and I'm never going to be embarrassed about it. A person who has absolute faith in Hashem is not going to be focused on Inyanei Ha'olam. Doesn't mean that you're not going to have to live in this world. You're still going to have to live in this world. You're still, at the end of every month, you're going to have to pay the electric bill, you're going to have to pay the gas bill, you're going to have to pay whatever is going to be powering your homes in 20 years, I don't know. You're going to have to pay those bills. You're still going to have to live in this world. You're going to have to work for a living. but it will not be yafana libo. It's not going to consume you. It's not going to be something that you're thinking about every moment of the day. And even if you're struggling, if a person is a tremendous baal bitachon, when he's struggling, he's not thinking about, oh no, how's this going to work? How am I going to make it? He's not going to be distracted by these things. Rather, he's going to be liyachi libo linyoni haTorah v'avoda. He'll be focused on Torah and avoda because that's where all that tzlacha is going to come from. It's very high madrega, obviously, but that's the ideal. V'tzorach adam lachkar ha-deos ha-machshavos ha-machzikos ha-slibo lichyos b'vitachon shalib elokim. It's not enough to know what bitachon is. A person has to actively focus on ideas that will lead you to a sense of bitachon. Meaning, and this is like... it's a double pashut that this is true, that when a person focuses his attention on something, even if he doesn't do anything, he focuses his attention on something, it will affect his behavior. If you focus on the maila of hakara seto, you listened to Rabbi Penner yesterday about modin, and you're so interested in acknowledging the good that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has done for you. So you're just focused on that idea, you're going to find that the way you behave toward people is with a greater sense of Hakaras HaTov. You're going to find that the way you behave toward the Ribbono Shel Olam changes because of that. Meaning, we do not divorce action from thought. We believe very strongly, because it's true, that our thought processes deeply affect our actions. And therefore, says the Orach HaTzaddikim, I'm going to give you 7 things to think about. 7 things that you should focus on whenever you can. And if you focus on these things, it will enhance your bitachon a great deal. Now, you can go down this list and you could say, hey, I knew that already. I knew that already also. I knew that. But it's not what it's about. It's not about, did you know it already? It's about, this is what you need to be focused on. So, number one, he says, Machshava Rishona, Sheyeda b'yediyah berura, to know with absolute clarity, Ki ha'elokim merachem ala adam yoser mikol merachem. Hashem loves you more than anybody loves you. That is number one. Rabbi Weinberger was right. Hashem loves you. And he loves you more than anybody loves you. And no matter what you've done in your life, Hashem loves you more than your mother loves you, more than your father loves you, more than your friends love you. Hashem loves you more than anybody loves you. One of my children said to me, with this whole remarkable thing, I think I really never heard in my life that Hashem loves me. I'm like, that's not true. You just weren't paying attention. But we preached that for a long time. Hashem loves, right? We said that is absolutely, absolutely true. That's not just for the ministers on, the evangelicals on TV. That is something that we strongly believe. And it's the Yetzer Hara that tells you that but I've done such terrible things, so Hashem must have rejected me. That's the Yetzer Hara. Because that Yetzer Hara says, and therefore there's no point. And therefore, why do I even bother trying? Because I'm already lost. No, Hashem loves you more than anybody could love you. That's number one, he says, of the 7. Number one, Yediya Berura, absolute clarity on that point. Remember, I once gave a shmooze in my shul, a drasha in my shul about how Hashem loves you. Yeah, I've told you this one, right? No? So a guy told, a guy was very moved by this, Rav Weinberg from Eisha Torah, Zichron Levracha, one founded Eisha Torah, used to make a big point about this. Tell your children that Hashem loves you. So a guy in my shul was very moved by this. And he said to his 5-year-old kid at the time, he was bar mitzvah this past year, he said to him, when he put him to sleep, he said, who loves you? So the kid said, mommy. He said, who else loves you? Daddy. Who else loves you? He wanted the kid to say Hashem. He was hoping like the kid got the message. So the kid said, Obama? So he said, no. But Hashem, the kid was bar mitzvah this past year, and I forgot to tell that story. It was bar mitzvah. It was like my biggest charata, Like I remembered it for 8 years. I remember that story. All right, but anyway, so Hashem loves you more than anybody loves you. And Hashem will love you no matter what, in private and public. And if you're not doing enough to protect yourself, Hashem is trying to watch over you anyhow, to protect you. Even He loves you more than you love you. You don't care enough about yourself. HaKadosh Baruch Hu cares more about you. What's the notion of Shomer P'saim Hashem? Hashem watches over the fools. People don't know how to watch over themselves. You know, there was Rav Moshe, an early tshuva, even though Rav David has since written that Rav Moshe definitely would have changed his mind given current knowledge. But an early tshuva about smoking, Rav Moshe held that smoking fits under the category of Shomer P'saim Hashem. Because if you think about that, it's crazy, right? That I am going to completely ignore what is healthy for me and what is good for me. I'm going to do something that really, in reality, should hurt me, should kill me. And Hashem's going to say, but I want to protect you. I don't care that you're committing a slow suicide. I want to protect you. I want your suicide to be unsuccessful. Hashem loves me more than I love me. Hamachshava hashniya. Second thing that a person needs to think about. Focus on. Asher kolatovos hamagios elav, me avivu me imo, ve'echavu kravav ireyav. Every good thing that happens to you, every Hanukkah present you got from your parents, every encouraging word that you got from a brother, every or from your friends or from your relatives, every good time you've had hanging out with your friends, everything that is good in your life, hakol me'eis Hashem yizbarachu. It all comes from Hashem. Ve'eluhem, and you know what a father and a mother and a brother and friends, you know what all those things are? Shluchei hamakom baruchu. Those are shluchim. If a person, Rachman Hatzlan, has an illness, and a doctor performs a surgery, you know what that doctor is? A shaliach. A shaliach. That's Rav Huttner in his famous letter. There was that Talmud that wrote in the Igros Pachad Yitzchak, it's printed, the letter that the Talmud wrote to Rav Huttner about how he feels like he's living a double life. Right? A double life, because he works and he also goes to daven or whatever. And Rav Huttner gave it to him over the head. It's not a double life. And Rav Huttner described visiting Shari Tzedek Hospital and seeing a certain doctor who, before he would go to perform surgery, would daven for the patient, would daven for the success of the surgery. Why? Because he knew that it's not him, he's a shaliach. And if HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants the shlichus to be done, the shlichus will be done. And if HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want the shlichus, so David. So to realize that all the good that happens comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Very often people think, or fall into the mindset that the good that happens, that's just what life is. Life is supposed to be good. And the bad that happens, why is God doing this to me? But you don't hear so many people ask, nor is it necessarily healthy to ask it, overtly. Why does God keep giving me three meals a day? Why are my lungs still working? When there are these people that are like waiting for lung transplants, that have all sorts of diseases. Why? Why does He do this for me? We never find it, and again, I don't think it's healthy to ask that question overtly. The Gemara says, based on Al Tiftach Pe LaSatan, you're not supposed to say, I don't deserve this, therefore why does God do this for me? Because up there, someone's going to say, Taka, you don't deserve this. Why are we doing this? Let's reassess this. So you don't want to be poseach peh, but to think in your mind that whatever I do have, every time I'm able to successfully breathe in oxygen, every time I'm able to have a smile on my face, every time I experience any sort of comfort, any sort of success, any sort of nachas ruach in this world, that all of that comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not only the bad stuff that comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. All of that comes from the Ribono Shel Olam. Lada shluchim, harbe shluchim lamakom, but that's what they are, shluchim lamakom. And that relates and really carries right into the third machshava. Hamachshava ashlishis, sheyeda shekol hatovos hein mechaste elokim. Lo shehu ra'oi lakach. You don't deserve it. You deserve nothing. It's not like, oh, Hashem needs you and therefore I better take care of this guy because I need this guy. It's absolute kindness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He doesn't need you. You didn't do anything to deserve it. And nevertheless, meaning that's what it said, it fits very well with the last one. I mean, the last one is that people often think that whatever good in their life, that's the default. Why is that the default? Because I deserve that. That's what's supposed to happen. I'm entitled to that. I'm entitled to that. We're entitled to nothing. There are no entitlements. You know, the notion of a bill of rights, you know, the notion of entitlement to anything is not really a Jewish concept. Right? People don't have a right to, you know, to practice their religion uninhibited, let's say, in Judaism. People have obligations. I have an obligation not to inhibit somebody else who's trying to serve Hashem, right? It's an obligation, not a right. It's not his right. My obligation is to make sure that I don't do anything that will inhibit it. It's a very different hashkafa. I mean, it sounds what's the same. The net, you know, net result is the same, right? This guy wants to daven. I'm not allowed to say no davening here because I'm a communist and you have to, you know, serve Mother Russia or whatever, right? Either way, whether it's because he has a right or whether it's because I have an obligation, what's the difference? The difference is everything. Hashkafa matters. Hashkafa matters. If it's about rights, then it's all about me. Because I am me, I deserve. If it's about obligations, it's about everybody else but me. I have to be kind to everybody else. People don't have to be kind to me because I have a right to the kindness of others, but I have an obligation to give tzedakah, I have an obligation to do chesed, and we all have that mutual obligation toward each other. And instead of being a world of takers, we become a world and a community of givers. It's all the difference in the world. Net result is the same, but it's not the same. Because the attitudinally, like we said, it affects how you do it. It affects the way you approach life. So that's machshava number three. Yeah, that it's all HaKadosh Baruch is doing it all because of nedivus v'chesed. Machshava number four. Machshava revis. Sheyeda asher l'chal inyanav yesh gvul v'keitz. What the Gemara Rosh Hashanah says, you should know that on Rosh Hashanah, Rosh Hashanah yichaseim, Yom Tzom Kippur yichaseim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu determined. You know, whatever you read in Sana Tokev, mi yichya, mi amus, HaKadosh Baruch Hu determines how much money you're going to make, chutz, mi yotzal Shabbos, yom tov, whatever. But generally, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what are the yotzals to be melamed tinokos, tinokos shabbos rabban, right? Except for the tuition and Shabbos and Yontif. Everything else is predetermined, right? Everything else is predetermined. How much you're going to make. You spend more on teaching your children Torah, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give you more money to cover that cost. You spend more on Shabbos, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give you more money to cover that cost. But everything else, all other costs, HaKadosh Baruch Hu already determined what you're going to make this year. And not just money, you know, it's hard to relate at your age to money, even though that becomes like a dominant thing in people's minds because it's a major concern on people's heads. But that it's not just money, anything. It's all determined. And therefore, no one could affect it. No one's going to affect your bottom line because they can't. If Hashem decided that you are going to make $50,000 this year, no one can make you $100,000 this year. Well, if someone gives you an extra $50,000, you will drop it and it will fall down the sewer. And if a Kadosh Baruch Hu determined you should make $1 million this year, and someone steals $200,000 from you, an investment will turn up and will turn into another $200,000. No one can change that. Umashe gazel yacher, ein shum adam yachol lahakdim. And what Hashem said is going to happen in 6 months, no one can make it happen sooner. V'lo la'acher umashe gazel lahakdim. If Hashem said it's supposed to happen tomorrow, no one can make it happen in 6 months. It's all from the Gezer of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's all based on what HaKadosh Baruch Hu determines. Let's do the fifth one, and with that we'll end. Hamachshav HaChamishis. Fifth thing that a person has to keep in mind. Sheyeda Shabore Yisbarach Roa Es Libo. To know that Hashem not only sees what you do, but He sees what's in your heart, He sees what's in your mind. In bitchonovo bitachon shalim below mirma. Ki evet amisharis ladon basav adam. We don't have this in other relationships. You work for a boss. You convince the boss that, oh yeah, I always have your back, I'm always taking, you know, I'm always looking out for what's best for you, and I love you so much, and really you despise the guy inside, but you fooled him, you got him, right? You can fool him, he's foolable. The boss will think that you love him, can't stand the guy. And the boss can give you a bonus. Oh, this is my guy. This is the guy that loves me. This is what, because you fooled him. Because there are no getting bonuses by fooling the Ribbono Shel. You can't do that. You know the whole mashal that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is like watching. Watch a video of your life. It's much worse than that. You know, a video of your life is going to be tough enough, right? But it's a video. We don't have the technology yet, right? The Chavetz Chaim said that video technology was created so that we can understand what, like, we're going to have to go through Lachar Me'evasim to watch the video of our life, you know, so we could have some hasag of that, because before videos, people didn't understand what that meant, right? So a pre-recorded event, I'm going to be able to see, like, a pre-recorded, what does recorded mean, right? The whole thing didn't exist. Well, constantly, like, time happened and then it was gone. But it's worse than that. We don't even have the technology for this yet. It's going to be a mind reading of your entire life. Of every thought. Every time you thought you could pull one over on the Ribbono Shel Olam. Every time there was a lack of Yiras Shamayim. The Kol Zeh Lo Yitachin B'Boreis Baruch Hu. He can't do it. Ki Hu Yodea Yetzer HaLev HaMachshava Shebo. He knows what you're thinking. He knows what your desires are. V'Yodea Elyonos V'Tachtonos. Amunaso Kfiraso. He knows if you're a Mamin or if you're a Kofer. L'chein Ein Leilich L'fanav B'Ramaos. So don't try to fool HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Don't try to fool HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Doesn't mean that you shouldn't do good. You do good, Shalom L'Shema, and ultimately you get to the point of L'Shema, like we spoke a little bit about last night. But tonight we just did the first five. Hashem loves you. All good is from Hashem. You don't deserve anything. People can't impact your blessings or your curses, and you can't fool God. But Hashem, tomorrow will continue. Oh, not tomorrow. Tomorrow we have a shmooze. Right? Tomorrow is Thursday. All right, whatever. Next summer, maybe. Is it?